Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Start the party, Los Angeles! Your Dodgers have won the World Series!
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler.
Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They've finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for! Grown men but children again, living out their dream.
Here's the 1-2 to Verdugo. Breaking ball, cut on a miss, strike three. Ball game over, World Series over. Dodgers win. Los Angeles is the new champion, and they're going nuts on the field. I don't blame them. When you see them jump around like this, boy, there's reason for it. They deserve it. They erased a 5-0 lead tonight, and the Yankees helped. And the Dodgers win the ball game by the score of 7-6.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Hey, how are you? Welcome in. WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Yankee Elimination Day, everybody. More importantly, Yankees go down to the Dodgers, and it was a beaut. Oh, man, they said that guy, that bozo out there who pried Mookie's glove open, that guy's a beaut. No. The Yankees were a beaut last night. That was a beautiful inning. Three errors in the inning. Volpe, and then Gerrit Cole not covering the base on Mookie's grounder. Five unearned runs in the fifth inning. Oh, it couldn't have been. I couldn't have dreamed up a better way for the Yankees to lose the World Series. Honestly, I couldn't. It was beautiful. And then Mookie Betts driving it home and also making it a little bit uncomfortable for Red Sox fans who happen to be watching and rooting for the Yankees to lose. It's Mookie Betts who does it. Your Mookie Betts, who's now officially a property of the LA Dodgers and I'd say going to retire as one of their all-time greats. I mean, this is a Dodgers team now that paid the cost, they paid the toll, and they now are on top of the baseball world. They did it by really boat racing the Yankees in the series. I know that they ended up stealing a game, but they were up 5-0 in this one, so there was really no excuse. But the Dodgers are World Series champions. John Sterling is going to have to go back into retirement. I feel bad for whoever the guy who normally calls the games this season was. Sterling retired like in the first week of the year, right?
Yeah, it was early.
Okay, so then they got this other guy do the whole season. They get to the World Series. They bring Sterling back. He's calling pop-ups, home runs. He can't see anything. And now they finally, the season's over. Now what? He just leaves again? Unfortunate situation there. But this is it. The Dodgers, World Series champions, the Yankees going home, and the Red Sox on the sidelines watching it all. What are your takeaways from the World Series, Andy?
Well, it's funny because we were talking about the other day the idea of comebacks versus choke jobs.
Yes.
This was not a comeback. Mm-mm. This was a gag job. I'm not like the Dodgers didn't do something that the Yankees could not prevent. If the Yankees didn't gag it away, they might still be playing another game in this series.
True. The Yankees did take a lead in the sixth with the Stanton sack fly, and then they came back. They overcame another deficit, so it happened twice.
The Dodgers didn't roll over and die.
Right.
I'm not saying that, but the Yankees kicked this one away.
Yeah.
And that drop by Judge was, I mean, maybe
it was
magnificent. Maybe we do need to lay off Jalen Polk and Kayshon Booty. Like, we've been talking about a lot of drops lately.
Tough catching stuff, yeah.
I mean, that's an all-time great player, not necessarily for his defense, but a great athlete. And, you know, he kind of kicked away the World Series.
And he looked like he was bad. He had that home run in the first
inning. Oh, my God.
Cranked one.
It was so funny.
Chisholm comes up, cranks one right after that.
I was watching with a Red Sox fan, and he was like, you know, he's really scuffling. They should probably move him down the
boom.
Gone. And I was like, I think he's fine now. He just crushed one to right center.
Looks like he's okay. Chisholm hit one right after that.
Yep.
Then Stanton hit one in the third to make it 5-0. And then in the fifth inning, Garrett Cole, listen, when they took the lead back, when the Yankees took the lead back on that Stanton sack fly, I thought, wow, in somewhat, like, I hate Garrett Cole. I think Garrett Cole is one of the biggest puds in the history of Major League Baseball. He's such a tool. But I watched that, and I thought, man, to have that happen behind him, and he was part of it. He didn't cover the base on that last one.
But
the two errors ahead of that, I think, were really what got to set that whole thing in motion. Anyway, for him to come through that, and then they were talking about it all throughout the broadcast, oh, what a big moment for Cole. They get the lead back. For him to tough that out and continue pitching and go that deep into the game, isn't that great? And then in the eighth inning, as soon as Kike Hernandez got on base, this guy... He's unbelievable, really. Kike Hernandez, when the playoffs start, is unbelievable. He's like Willie Mays out there.
Robert Ori.
But certainly at the plate. I mean, this guy, you can't get him out. He's scoring all these big runs. He's always in the mix. He's always torturing these other teams. Their bullpens, their starters, it doesn't matter. He's in the regular season, he stinks. So there he is. He gets on base. He scores the run on Gavin Lux's sack fly. And then Mookie. Who else but Mookie Betts drives in Tommy Edman with that sack fly to center field, and that's all she wrote. You heard Verdugo strike out there. I was happy for the Dodgers. I was happy that the Yankees lost. I'm always going to be happy when the Yankees lose. There was never any sort of waiver like, oh, who am I going to root for here? It was obviously going to be the Dodgers all along. I did think it'd be a little more competitive. I didn't think the Yankees would just get rolled over like that. I'm surprised to see that. I'm surprised that they had such a hard time. And I know in this game it was a big error fest and everything, but in the first two games, three games, they weren't particularly, you know, like it always seemed like the Dodgers had them at arm's length.
Well, I've thought all year there was a good chance the Dodgers were going to be the best team in baseball.
Yep.
The Dodgers were going to win the World Series, and they played that out. I was hoping it was going to be more competitive, but I do think, and the ratings have been good, right? I saw the ratings were up.
I believe so, yeah. I think
because
they're pretty high.
I do think this is showing you, when you put on a display of star power baseball, people still like it. People still want to watch it. That opening game was tremendous. That was, but you're seeing Stanton, what did he have, like 7 home runs this postseason?
Yeah.
Judge hitting home runs. Otani, then he gets banged up. Like, there were two great teams, two marquee teams that everybody kind of knows, players on each team, big money players, Soto and everybody involved, and they performed on a national stage. Like, I don't really think it's that hard. If you have good players, star players, and good teams performing, people are still going to watch baseball. It is still fun. It is still enjoyable. I don't know about 162. That's a different argument for a different
right.
day. But I'm saying if you put elite teams on the national stage in the World Series, people are going to enjoy it and watch it.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. People are going to be into it. It was a good playoff in general. I'd say the postseason was a success for Major League Baseball
Absolutely.
This year. It produced a World Series with two big markets. Well, not the most competitive thing in the world, but people were watching. You know, the whole tri-state area is watching every single one of those pitches. The Dodgers and their fans obviously have expanded now worldwide with some of the signings they've made recently. It's a big, big deal, and they end up winning. I think this was a good World Series for baseball. I don't know if I'd say baseball's back all the way. I mean, this is a good step in that direction towards reeling it back in, but it also sort of points to the faulty nature of baseball's business model, doesn't it? Like, you need to have two big markets in the World Series, otherwise what, the whole thing collapses?
Kind
of. Like, the NFL, you know, if you have two not big markets in the Super Bowl, is that going to be a big problem
no.
in the NFL? Of course not.
And
I don't even think it's a big deal in the NBA.
No, that's one of the reasons why baseball, I don't think they're back to, like, they're not back to their heyday, but they're back to not drowning, to not
right.
sinking, right? Like, they're floating forward. And if anything, if I were I would be a terrible commissioner, because this would cause me to do things that would be unfair to 3/4 of my constituents.
Right.
Because I'd be like, yeah, we just proved it with Otani. Can we get that damn Trout guy on a good team? And let's maybe get Trout in the postseason. Like, I would be more inclined to be pushing stars somehow, some way, to elite teams. Because this is what's going to drive our success. This is what's going to be the rising tide to try to lift all boats. How you figure it out financially and how you keep those other teams invested, I don't know. But this just proved it. We talked about it. It was 5 MVPs
yep.
in the World Series.
Most ever.
And you have the marquee free agent coming forward. So at least that, maybe that allures some teams that aren't big market teams. Well, maybe my team this one time will go get Soto, right? Like that idea, watching a guy that's actually available when the series ends. But the reality is, this proved you want your MVP candidates in big markets and playing in the World Series.
Yeah.
Because when they sign a big deal to go to wherever, you know, San Diego, sorry, or what, like, people want to see the best teams and the best players on the biggest stage. And in baseball, unfortunately, I think that limits the teams that are in the club more so than, as you mentioned, the NFL or the NBA, whatever, mm-hmm. like anywhere. If you get Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, you're going to have success. If you get Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, you're going to have success. You don't have to be in New York or L.A. or whatever in the NFL.
No, you don't. And the NBA had the Bay Area versus Cleveland for how many years, and it was just doing just fine. And people watched that because they cared about the players, and it didn't really matter what the market was. I think that that's sort of part of it. In baseball, I feel like a lot of fan bases, and this is something that's been going on for a while now. This isn't a new thing. But a lot of fan bases have kind of given up. They've given up on their team ever competing again. They've given up on there being a season beyond, you know, June most years. Ask a Colorado Rockies fan how excited they are for the next season. You know, like, there's a lot of really bad teams out there with disengaged owners who don't care and aren't really all that concerned about getting to the playoffs or making it to the World Series or winning a World Series or any of that stuff. It's just, it's a line item. And you watch with the Red Sox and how they've been operating lately, and even though they do spend more money than these other teams, the Rockies and, you know, Kansas City and some of these other teams, they certainly have been behaving more like that. Even if it's not completely an exact match, they've acted a lot more like that. And I don't think that the Red Sox fan base is going anywhere. But you are starting to see after June. We saw it this year. After June, July, you start falling out of the race, and all of a sudden, here come fans from the other team, and they're filling up the park. This is a couple years in a row of this now, and we've seen it. Nothing like the Dodgers parade last year. I've never seen anything like that before. But the apathy. That's more what I'm worried about. The apathy is something that I believe Red Sox ownership is severely underestimating. You get your fan base excited. The Yankees fans, they're upset that they lost, and there's a sort of a doom and gloom thing going on there. But that is an energized fan base right now, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Dodgers,
it's anger, but
energized,
it's...
yes. All these the teams that were the last four, all energized. And the Red Sox, I just don't feel that energy at all. I don't feel anything from the Red Sox.
But why would they? Like, if they look at this, my team is not anything like those teams.
Right.
They're not doing it the same way. And that's why, as you were talking, it really made me think, and I know fans always love to bring up this idea, wow, relegation's a thing in Europe.
Right.
I actually wonder if Major League Baseball really wanted to go crazy and shake up their entire system, have a system of split the league in two, not national and American, but the haves and the have-nots. Mm. And if you win the have-not division, you become a have the next year. And if you're in the haves division, right, the bigger market teams,
yeah,
and you don't spend your money right, like the Red Sox would probably get bounced out of the haves division.
Yeah.
And then now they'd be competing with all the lower, and you don't get to win the World Series. If you're not in the upper division, you don't go to the World Series. You don't get to win the World Series. You get to be trying to get back into the upper division to therefore, after that, go to the World Series.
Would it come to that?
That would be some incentive. I
feel like that would alienate fan bases even more.
Well, the thing that had me,
right?
I believe this is an issue in college football as well over the years. No one in college football has a chance except for like four or five teams,
yeah,
right? And I think that's now they've gone to this expanded playoff, but we keep hearing about these super leagues where they're going to break off and it's not going to be the Power Five. It's going to be like 20 teams over here and everybody else playing a different level of college football. And I do think...
And then Notre Dame in their own special
league. Well, yeah, Notre Dame because they have gold helmets, NBC, and everybody loves them or whatever.
The Notre Dame League.
So
only team in it.
I think... I've always poo-pooed the idea of relegation because I didn't get it. Like, oh, so I'm going to send the Red Sox to AAA. They're going to become a minor league team. But when I think of it like this, if you chopped Major League Baseball into two tiers,
yeah,
that's how you could actually create a system, because I want to see the best. I'm sorry to you in Pittsburgh. I'm sorry to you wherever. I don't want to root for the plucky Pirates, really. I want to see stars. And I know this was a kind of a perfect storm with the five MVPs and the real marquee players of I mean, between Judge, Soto, Ohtani, and Betts, you're talking about maybe the top four players in baseball?
Yeah, probably.
So, like, that's weird. Like, that's a interesting situation that came together perfectly. Everybody knows them. Everybody knows how they play, what they do, why I like them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to learn them. There's other guys on, like, Freddie Freeman, I don't put in that level. Freddie Freeman's great.
He might have hit his way into that level.
Right.
You know, that might be where he is now.
But I think if you just did like a Q rating test, I don't think Freddie Freeman rates with those other guys.
He doesn't, but he's a former MVP.
Absolutely.
Like he's
really good.
He should be. He's
but my point is that hurts.
Yeah.
If you have these people, I have to explain to you why you should think he's a star. Then guess what? He's not really a star and he's not really drawing eyeballs. Right? Eyeballs are drawn naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to explain to you why you should watch this person. He's a star. Like, LeBron is a star. You
right.
met Steph Curry and those. No one cared where they played. They know that they're watching stars. And
Mookie Betts is a star.
Absolutely.
Mookie Betts is a superstar.
Absolutely a
Not
superstar.
Not going to be the MVP, Freeman, obviously, but, like, he was very good. He's shaken that reputation of a guy who doesn't perform in the postseason
yes.
that he had here and early on there and is now a big-time spotlight-hogging postseason performer. I mean, he was there every time he needed to be.
Oh, sure. I think he has natural star power.
Yeah.
Just the look of him, like the way he handles himself, the chains, the swing, the energy, the whole thing that we had here for a while.
And, yeah. And listen, the Braves are upset because Freddie Freeman was their guy and they let him go and that was a choice that they made and here it is and now they have to deal with it. Same with the Red Sox. The difference is the Braves are still good. You know, the Braves are still competitive. The Braves are still right there. And this year, they were competitive even without their two best players. Acuna was out, and what's-his-name was out. So, like, they had, I forget the other guy who was out, but they
did have Chris Sale have a great unexpected year.
That's true. Sale was much better than anyone anticipated.
Speaking of Red Sox.
The Braves were shorthanded, and they were still there at the end. And the Red Sox can only look on as Mookie Betts, who should have been a lifetime Red Sox, in my opinion. I think that's someone they should have made a lifetime commitment to, basically, or something close to that. Something close to what the Yankees did with Judge and what, you know, the Angels did with Trout and all these other teams that recognized what they had and decided they wanted to keep them around for a long time, and it just didn't happen. And I think that more so than anything else, 2018, as great as it was, made John Henry believe that every couple of years, this is just going to happen. It's just going to be, this is the way it is. You know, we'll do this. And then after a couple of years, boom, we're right back there in the World Series. We got a new manager. We got some young prospects coming up. We'll spend some money here and there. We won't go crazy. You know, our crazy days are behind us. We've reversed the curse and all that. But it doesn't work like that. It really doesn't, especially when everybody else is just clawing to get past you. And now they've all passed you. I mean, that's really what it is. The Orioles, the Yankees, these teams have all cleared you. And it's going to take a while to get back into that tier of team. It's just that's not where they are. You could make the argument that they were down there with the Royals of the world and the Tigers of the world and the other wild card teams that they were, sorry, like the Mariners and teams like that who just missed out, who were right there at the bottom. But that's not what the Red Sox need to be. That's not where they should be aiming for. The fact that they've been out of this conversation for so long is upsetting. And I think that Red Sox fans have a right to be upset. I just hope that it doesn't manifest itself into apathy. Because once that happens, once you stop caring, even if some of this stuff the Red Sox are doing pans out, even if all these prospects pan out and Giolito comes back and he's great and they spend a little money here in the offseason and they, you know, hit on a guy or two, once you've lost the fan base, they'll come back towards the end of the year. But it's not going to be a lot of excitement. There's not going to be a lot to hang your hat on here from the ownership group. And I just don't think they recognize that. I don't think they recognize how bad things have gotten.
Well, I don't think they recognize how bad things have gotten. I would disagree with you. I think if you give them... If you trot out the Dodgers lineup, I think Fenway Park would be decked out and everybody would be buying
jerseys. If you did that, sure, yeah. I don't think that's what they're.
If you give stars
like,
and entertaining baseball, people are going to line up and love it.
Right. And if they do that,
but
then
they're
great.
Cynical. I actually think the biggest issue with all these young stars is Mookie.
Yeah.
Is the cynicism of, oh, no, we're not going to sign him, though. Like, I'm going to get attached to him, and then they're going to figure out, oh, he's going to be too expensive to sign. And even other places.
Might be happening to Tristan Casas right now.
Like, well. But, I mean, real stars.
I'm saying, just, you know, this was a guy who was pegged to be a young star coming up in his early 20s, and now he's producing. I know he was hurt
last year.
But
I don't even love that.
Fine.
Because now they're playing business the small market way. Oh, we got to go to Bayo early because he might be good.
Right.
So we got to buy. We got to go to Casas early because he might be good. I don't feel like that was generally the Red Sox. They did it the kind of marquee old school way. Once the guy proves he's worth it, we're going to give him a boatload of money. And the problem is some of those small market teams do that now. Like Kansas City, what did they give Bobby Witt Jr.? A boatload of money.
Yeah, big money.
Right. So, wait, the Royals keep their stars, but Mookie Betts plays for the Dodgers? Tell me why that works that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there were all these details of the time of the taxes and the this and the double this and all, every, you know, it was almost like a second apron.
If they wanted to, they would have.
Absolutely. Really, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, if they wanted to, they would have.
Don't screw it up.
Yep.
And you had a superstar, and I'm sorry, superstar Mookie Betts, Devers next in line, Bogarts next in line. They weren't the same.
No. Mookie was head and shoulders above both of those guys, yes.
And you ended up taking, in
and
my
Bogarts
opinion.
Bogarts was a top-tier shortstop, but Mookie was an
and
MVP
maybe the most popular. The
one 24 or whatever he was. It's not even close.
The one thing I think Bogarts had is I actually think he might have been the more popular player for a while. A lot of kids loved Bogarts.
That's true. Bogarts
was
super
popular.
Because he was a hot prospect, too. But
right.
Mookie, I mean, Mookie was came in second in the MVP voting at like 23. He was
superstar.
He was amazing like right away.
And Devers is.
Kids loved him, too.
Devers is really good.
Yeah.
I just don't know that Devers is a superstar. And you had three, you ended up with one, and I think if you polled Red Sox fans, a lot of them, you didn't keep their favorite. You
mm-hmm.
kept a guy that they're like, yeah, he's good, I like him, I want to keep him too, but I don't think you really gave your fans what they wanted, and that's where the cynicism and the skepticism moving forward comes through. But I just think it's very simple. If you field a team like the Yankees and the Dodgers and like, people will watch.
Yep.
People will get excited. People will buy jerseys. People will spend lots of money. Now, maybe it's not enough extra money to validate their business line items, and they're making plenty of money, and they don't care whether it's a Dodgers jersey at Fenway Park or a Red Sox jersey. That's up to them. They're businessmen. They can choose how they do it, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. By the way, Giolito, I just mentioned him 2 minutes ago. He exercised his player option for the 2025 season, so yay.
Well, I would, too.
Yeah, I probably
would
as well. Is
it $20 million for a guy who didn't pitch last year, basically?
Yes, it is.
I would exercise that as well.
There's also this, and I was just clicking through this. I hate clicking through Reddit because I never can read through it right. I always end up going past what I was looking for, and you have to click on the replies to find anything, but it's like one of those AMAs and ask me anything from Reddit. Do you know what that is?
No. Can I tell you I've never been on Reddit?
You've never been on Reddit? I don't go on it very often.
It's good.
There's a lot of discussions on it and stuff. It's like
a rabbit hole.
It's a big message board, basically, right? With different topics and things.
Yeah.
So they do Ask Me Anythings, where a certain topic will bring in a celebrity or an expert or something, and just all the people at Reddit get to fire questions at them, and they answer whatever they want to answer. So Alex Speer did one of these, and I'm clicking through it trying to find the actual quote, but Boston Sports Gordo, who I don't think is... You know, someone who just makes stuff up, right?
Okay.
I've seen his stuff before. I don't think he makes things up, but I honestly don't know. He says, Alex Speer says he expects the Red Sox to hand out a $100 million-plus deal this winter.
Ooh.
$100 million.
Am I supposed to get excited about that?
Yeah, is that impressive?
They gave Trevor Story $120 and it didn't really do anything for me.
He expects the Red Sox to hand out $100 plus, so it'd be like 101.
Multiply it by five, and now you're in the conversation, because I had to watch Juan Soto last night say, hey, we're open for business. The Yankees don't have an advantage.
Right.
The Mets don't have an advantage. I'll go anywhere. I'll listen, see what you got, see what you're offering. Sounded like he's going to the highest bidder, quite simply.
Right.
And I don't think $100 million is going to get that done. They might offer $100
million. $100
million
to get Juan Soto? Are you kidding me?
What if it's a one-year deal?
One-year deal, maybe. One-year deal, you're in the ballpark, maybe. That might beat the other offers. But, yeah, I mean, listen, come on.
That alarmed me. That right there, because I think Alex Speer is tied in. I do. I think he talks to people. I think he's tied in. And for him to throw that out there like it's something, like, that doesn't move the needle for me at all. That does not in fact, it scares me because – I feel like he's being used as a conduit, and they're like, hey, we're going to spend $100 million. We're going to give out
$100 million.
Right. No one cares. No one wants you to give out a $100 million deal. If it doesn't start with a three, I'm not sure anybody wants you to give it out. They want you to spend legit money. You're going to get Burns for $100 million?
Nope.
You're going to get Soto for $100 million?
You are not.
Okay, so I'm not interested. Move along.
Yeah, I'm not interested either. And
if it's
really,
like your fifth
I'm really
deal?
Trying to find this because
are you telling
I
me we're talking
find
about something
quote.
That doesn't exist?
Even let's just assume that he didn't say that. Let's just assume that this is just us spitballing here about what kind of contracts you think this team's going to give out in the offseason. I don't expect them to go crazy. I just don't. I'm sorry. They've essentially over the last couple of years here, and even going back a little beyond that, have excluded themselves from these conversations, unless it's Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers, they gave a lot of money to, and that's basically it. And he was a guy that they re-signed. He was their own guy. They're unwilling to sort of go out on the market and do that lately. They'll go $100 million, you know, 5 years, 20 per year or something like that, which isn't nothing, but it's not really what we're talking about. It's not Red Sox type stuff. And I think that that's sort of what is upsetting everybody. You know, you're not operating the way you used to. You're not going out there targeting someone and doing whatever it takes to get them anymore. It's not like that. Now it's all about about whatever it's all about. You know, you tell me, like, what do you think? What do you think their top priority is right now? Has it been winning a World Series? Is that what it's been for the last couple of years? Because it doesn't seem like it. And the teams who were there at the end in the playoffs this year, you can't say the same about them. The Mets, they cared. Yankees cared. Dodgers cared. Padres cared. These teams cared. Red Sox, I don't know. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Yankees lost. Guess who else lost last night? The Boston Celtics.
No.
What? The Celtics lost the game. Yes. I can't believe it either. It was a good game, too. First, here's Michael Myers to tell you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending right now on WEI.
Boo, leave the mask on, boo.
I know I can't. I wasn't going to try to do it. I was waiting for the camera view to, but he didn't get to me. That's all right, next time. The Celtics suffered their first loss of the season last night. They lost to the Pacers 135-132 in Indiana. The Jays combined for 62 points with Tatum putting up 37, Brown putting up 25, but it just wasn't enough. Head coach Joe Mazzulla spoke after the game on the loss.
Yeah, I mean, I thought just credit to Indiana. I thought they just outplayed us. I thought we were step behind everything. I thought their speed, their pace, they were a step ahead of us. And it wasn't our best night.
Celtics will remain on the road for back-to-back games against the Hornets. First game tomorrow night, tip-off at 7 p.m. from the Spectrum Center. The Bruins are in Carolina tonight. They'll take on the Hurricanes. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from the PNC Arena. Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net for your Boston Bruins. Patriots back on the practice field today as they continue to get ready for their Week 9 game against the Titans on Sunday on the road in Tennessee. 13 players were limited during yesterday's practice, including quarterback Drake May, who still remains in the concussion protocol. And the Dodgers clinched their 8th title in franchise history after they beat the Yankees 7-6 in the Bronx last night. Dodgers pitcher Daniel Hudson announced his retirement just minutes after the win, saying, "The only reason I came back was to go out." Excuse me, quote, "The only reason I came back was to go out on top." Messed that one up. Trending brought to you by Ortho Laser, New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Maloney did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser, New England. You can find them today at online at ortholaserne.com. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show at Arcan and Hart. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
All right, coming up.
There's the old okey-doke. Tyrese Halliburton getting a little help from his Olympic teammate, Derek White, to put this game on ice. But the Pacers showing tremendous resilience and resolve after squandering a 24-point lead in the third quarter. The game going into overtime, and then Pascal Siakam with the big three to give them the eventual margin.
Well, that's not how I expected that game to go. The Boston Celtics fall in overtime to the Indiana Pacers.
This I like.
Is Will Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What song is this?
Nightmare on My Street.
Nightmare on My Street, right.
See, this I know. Now you're in my sweet spot.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, this was early Fred.
This is with DJ Jazz and Jeff. Yeah.
I liked this, this CD.
The Arcan, the best rapper to cross over as an actor, would you say?
I'd say that, yeah. I'd say it's probably him or, you know,
Ice-T,
LL Cool J, somebody cool, like yeah. that.
Ice Cube. A lot of ices.
All the ices.
Not ISIS.
Not ISIS.
Not ISIS. That'd be different.
Several different varieties of ice, both the cube and the T. I'd say they're all right up there. But Will Smith had the crossover appeal like right away. You know, like when he was in the height of his musical career, started that show, and that show was an instant hit right away. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody compares to that. I think that was the biggest crossover.
Well, plus, he's like a Oscar winner, isn't he?
Now, yeah, sure.
So, I mean, I don't think either of the Ices have Oscars.
After slapping Chris Rock in the face.
I'm not even sure they have Emmys.
maybe not. I don't know. Ice-T deserves Emmys for his work on the CSI, or whatever that show is he's on. What show is he on? One of the CSI.
Law and Order?
Yeah, Law and Order. Yeah, SVU, not CSI. every time I see a clip from that show of him talking, it's always funny. Anyways, the Celtics, that was not funny last night. They lose to the Pacers in overtime, 135-132, despite a unbelievable comeback in this game, which I didn't think I'd be talking about that with this team early on in the season. Big comebacks, anything like that. I didn't think they'd be down by 20 points at any point early on in the season. I thought they were just going to keep steamrolling over everybody until they got tired or until somebody got hurt or something like that before they started losing games like this. But the Pacers hung around. The Pacers made it very, very tough on them.
I told you.
Jaylen Brown had a terrible night.
Hey.
He did. What, do you want to gonna debate that? He was very bad last
night. Well, he wasn't the only one.
No,
Tatum didn't really shoot all that well either.
No, he didn't.
This was in light of our conversation.
He wasn't 1 for 11 from 3-point range.
In light of our conversation with Scal, this is what happens when you don't shoot well from three and say, I'm just going to keep launching up 57 threes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like this.
Not a great night for old P. Pritch either.
Right.
He was not super accurate from the field. 16 points on 14 shots. Not exactly what we got in that last game. But yeah, listen, give the Pacers credit. They hung around. They had a reason to want to get revenge on the Celtics, just like all these other teams that you're going to be talking about here. This is a team that stood in between them and the NBA Finals. And they knew that. And they knew they probably won't get too many more chances like that. So I thought that was a good effort by the Pacers. A tremendous game from Pascal Siakam.
Yep.
And Benedict Maturin?
Yes.
Where the hell did this guy come from?
Okay, I thought it was just me. I was like,
what a
I had no
monster.
Idea who he was.
He was killing it.
I know I'm not
night.
Exactly a hoop head, but I was like, I don't really know what this
he was.
Deal
I remember he was drafted a couple years ago, but I didn't hear much about him. And you saw him a little bit in the last year, but he was everywhere last night. And they had no answers for him.
And they're a team that doesn't play your style of basketball. They don't launch up threes. Now, it's funny, they actually hit some threes last night that were key in the moment, which I'm not opposed to. But they're like a 30-something threes-a-game team, not a 50-something threes-a-game team. And not that I think, because I think the Celtics didn't shoot very well. I don't think there's many nights where my guy's going to go 1 of 11, Tatum's going to be shooting poorly. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think in a 7-game series you're going to have that happen enough times. So I don't actually think this is the example of the style makes the fight, and their style was able to beat you. I think you had an off night shooting. I would also throw in defense. This team's supposed to play defense and shoot threes, right? Last night, I didn't think the defense was all that good, and I didn't think they shot threes all that good. So this was definitely a wake-up call off night for them.
I'm not sure their defense has been all that great at all.
Not really. But
I'm not. They 118 to Detroit. I mean, like, that was not a game that I felt like they won very comfortably, and they didn't win comfortably because the Pistons kept scoring on them.
Yep.
They kept, the Celtics would try and make a run, and the Pistons get right back into it. They had a ton of trouble stopping Cunningham. And last night, it was Siakam and Maturin. I mean, they really, once those guys got hot, the Celtics, it seemed like, turtled a little bit.
But even then, you had the big comeback.
Yep.
Now I'm going to be a moment of honesty here. I had to go watch some of the highlights because they went down. They cut it a little bit, and then they went down to like 21. I'm like, I'm going to go watch the Hernandez doc. And I was watching it, and then one of my son's friends was like, I think the Celtics are cut. I think it might be going to overtime. And we clicked back over and watched overtime, and then that was disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing. And that all happened right around the time that the Dodgers were making their comeback, yep. So there was a lot going on.
There was
on.
A lot going
a lot,
on.
A lot of screens.
I shouldn't have had Hernandez in the rotation last night.
We can talk about
good.
The episode a little bit later on. I thought it was a good episode.
I actually thought it was one of the better.
Emotionally, it was. There was a lot of liberties taken with the timelines and things like that. But, yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. The Celtics now 4-1. I wasn't expecting him to lose a game for a little while longer. And I don't know if this puts a damper on any of this crazy talk we were doing. And I say crazy in the air quotes here because I don't think it's that crazy. But projections of the wins record and, you know, things like that. I don't consider that off the table because they lost the game here in Indiana.
If anything, maybe an early wake-up call could be good. Maybe an early and they are a team. I said it to you. It's why I think they're a pretty scrappy good team in general, mm-hmm. Indiana. Now they're 2-3 now, I believe.
They're 2-3, yes.
After that win. But you go back to last year, as everybody has correctly called it, it mm-hmm. was the most hard-fought sweep in the history of basketball.
I know.
Like, it felt like it could have been a sweep in the other direction, practically.
The last two games, they won by, like, 2 and 3 points, right. I think, right?
And
it was very close.
You had my guy Jaylen Brown hitting that not-open corner three.
Right.
That was a huge, you know, changer in that series. So I think the Pacers play the, you know, the. I'm glad I didn't bet it because I was looking and I was like, yeah, that number seems a little high.
I did bet it and I did not win. So, that's what happened. But yeah, it was one of those nights. Listen, it's just one of those nights for the Celtics, and hopefully they bounce back and are able to collect themselves after not shooting great and not playing great defense. Now they got these two games against Charlotte, who's not a good team. But they're a young team. They're kind of a frisky team, to borrow a phrase from the midday show. They are, yeah. They're a young, athletic team.
This is a losable game, in my opinion, to the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
Go on the road to the Pacers last year, everything. That's okay. You lose to Charlotte, that's not okay.
Yeah, you should win both those games and beat Atlanta before you come back.
If you have visions of being something special, and Scal talked a little bit about that yesterday, mm-hmm. like this team is motivated by the idea of they could be something special. Special doesn't go lose in Charlotte. Special can lose in Indiana. Special doesn't lose in Charlotte.
It definitely should not. that would be upsetting.
Then you're not special.
If that's what happens.
And yes, I will overreact Arcan style. If they lose back-to-backs, and Terp told me the other day they lost back-to-back like once. They never lost more than back-to-backs last year. Because I don't think this team's going to have a losing streak. But if you lose back-to-backs at this point, and one of those is in Charlotte, nope. Sorry. Not special.
No.
Give it up.
Not good.
It in. And that's weird for me to say because, you know, it's 6 games into the season.
Yeah, but listen, this is the way is the way of a daily talk show. This is the way it works. Benedict Mathurin, I don't even know how to say his last name. Benedict, whatever his name is, who killed you last night in Indiana, was 30 points, and now Michael in Boston wants to explain who he is. Why don't you start with how to say his name? That might help us out here, Michael.
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually an Indiana Pacers fan.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny you brought it up. It's Benedict Mathurin.
Mathurin, that's okay.
T-H, yeah. And he was injured last year in the postseason, so he didn't play.
Okay.
He had shoulder surgery in the during the regular season, so he didn't get to play during that series.
Okay.
So hopefully that clears it up.
All right. Well, thanks for the assistance there. I didn't really remember him in the playoffs, but I sort of remembered him being on the team when they played him earlier in the year.
Existing.
Maybe existing. I kind of remember him getting drafted. He was the high pick. So, yeah, that's about it. Anyway, thanks for the assistance.
He's Canadian.
Certainly appreciate it. Oh, yeah. Was he in the Olympics? Did he play on
Montreal.
Team Canada?
Montreal.
Him and Gilgeous Alexander over there on Team Canada with Andrew Wiggins, also Canadian.
National team career.
He must have been. He's out there giving people 30 points in the NBA. He's got to be on Team Canada, you would think.
I don't know that he was.
Maybe he was injured. He was dealing with the injury.
I think he was on Team Canada.
Yeah.
Against Serbia, victory over Serbia. I don't know. I'm reading his Wikipedia page. But, yes, he is. Went to Arizona, was the 6th overall pick in 2022.
Well, regardless of the Celtics losing that game or not last night, it does appear as though some early returns not going great for teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, who the Celtics beat recently. In fact, according to CBS, there are teams circling the water like sharks, getting ready for something to happen with Giannis Antetokounmpo, maybe as early as this trade deadline. This is a real report. We'll get into it next. What's with all the Giannis highlights, Arcan? What are we doing here? I'll tell you what we're doing here. Just clicking around the old internet today, Andy, and on CBS Sports. A fella named Bill Reiter, R-E-I-T-E-R, I don't know how you say it, wrote the following.
Should I take it seriously?
Says the Milwaukee Bucks are 1-3, a daunting schedule awaits them over the next 10 days, and that fleeting idea of hope that it's too soon to panic in such a young season doesn't fit the growing confidence across the NBA that Milwaukee's star player, if things turn ugly enough, could become available. There's already a lot to worry about if you're a Bucks fan, more even than you can see from their bad play. Doc Rivers, ensconced in the job since January, is now 20-26 as their coach. Great job, by the way. I know that last guy was nothing to write home about, Adrian Griffin or whatever, was, I guess, a real D-bag. But do you remember when he got fired and they were all dancing in a circle, you know, and like throwing everything up in the air, all excited that now they got Doc Rivers and he's 20-26 as their coach, including the playoffs. Middleton's still out with an injury. Team's defense has been bad. They've lost to the Bulls and to the Nets this year. And all this could lead exactly to the place, Rita writes, that the Bucks organization most fears, Giannis Antetokounmpo in another team's jersey. One Western Conference team executive said, teams are circling and hopeful. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened by the trade deadline, said a top executive of a team that could be in the mix. An Eastern Conference NBA executive has already heard the places believed to be Giannis's would-be preferred destinations. The teams I've heard are Miami, New York, the Nets, not the Knicks. There's also other teams with means, in theory, to go after a player like Giannis, like the Oklahoma City Thunder. I asked the Eastern Conference executive about the Thunder potentially making a run, and he said, I haven't heard them mentioned, but yeah, if you're Milwaukee, you might just go, I don't give a bleep what you want. If you want out, we're getting the best deal we can, and Oklahoma City could definitely offer a good one. And yes, it's early, not yet November, but not so early that rival teams are eyeing Milwaukee's struggles with anything other than glee. Giannis Antetokounmpo getting traded at the deadline this year would be seismic.
Absolutely.
That would be unbelievable if that happened this year.
Massive. Yes. Especially, I mean, certainly to Oklahoma City, massive. Certainly to Miami with Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
Massive.
Even Brooklyn, yeah. Wherever he goes, it's going to be a contending team. Yeah.
But, I mean, Oklahoma City, he goes there. Now, I don't know what the trade exactly would be, but I think they would become a team that everybody's like, that might be a favorite to win the title.
Yeah.
Right?
I consider that a team that could hang with the Celtics, definitely.
So that would be really interesting. Now, no one can ever make fun of you again for being reactionary. They're 1-3.
Yep.
They've played four games out of 82, and we're tearing down the franchise and trading Giannis? When the whole story a couple years ago was him choosing to stay there and, like, that whole thing, and you don't have to move on, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Like, and just a year ago, they traded for Dame, and they were seen as a contender. And now we're just blowing it up? Now, I hate Giannis. He's my least favorite basketball player to watch.
Hate Giannis.
Hate him.
You never hear anybody say they hate Giannis. That's
I know. Weird. Why
do you hate Giannis?
I hate watching him play. He's the biggest bully ball. I hate it. Like,
not enough touch.
No touch.
Not enough.
He runs people over, and then they call foul on the other people all the time. It's the most infuriating style of basketball
like
to
a
watch.
Freight train. I like that kind of basketball.
Well,
but anyway,
would probably like it if he was on the Celtics.
I'd love it if he was on the Celtics. You kidding me?
But I love rooting against him. I love rooting for him to fail. But he is a fun guy to follow.
Hmm.
Like, he's pretty personable. He would be a good guy to move around. That would inject some life. When is that? February?
February is when the trade deadline is.
Yeah,
hold on, I'll tell you exactly.
Because that would definitely inject some life into the middle of the NBA season if you move him.
February 8th. February 8th is when
February
the trade deadline.
But I just feel like, isn't there also a shot that by then they're like they've righted the ship and they're a good team in the East and they're not going to be?
Yeah, traded? I mean, that's entirely possible. By the way, that was last year's trade deadline. I don't know what this year's trade deadline is, but it's probably right around then.
Similar, it's February.
First or second week in February.
That would be, you're right. I think you used the word seismic. That would be, that's about as big a trade as you could probably envision right
now.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. And I think that that's what happens when there's a perception of a juggernaut team like the Celtics. This is what happened. All of a sudden, people think, okay, this is why they're circling. They might have thought in the past, all right, there's no way we're getting this guy from Milwaukee. Milwaukee suddenly realizes, hey, we're getting worse, not better. We got to start over, and we'll get whatever we can for Giannis because he's going to bring in a big haul from whatever team we trade him to. And that's going to be the type of trade where it's players, it's draft picks, it's everything. I mean, you're going to, like the Garnett trade, right? You got to trade the whole roster, basically, plus picks, plus this, plus that, plus cash, like all that stuff.
But how old is he? Like,
and that's
I'm
how you
Bucks
get him.
Fan. This is a nightmare.
30 years old, I want to say.
Oh,
I think he's only 30. But
I thought he was a little younger. I would have said like 28.
Age. He is 29.
Okay.
29, turns 30 in December. He turns 30 in December, so there you go. Listen, I don't know how realistic this is. Milwaukee goes on a run, and all of a sudden this whole thing gets shut down very, very quickly. They win 5 in a row, and you'll never hear this story again. But if things continue going poorly for them, if this thing doesn't quite get back on the tracks, keep an eye on this. Because this could change the whole face of the league. I mean, really, this could disrupt everything that you think the Celtics are going to cruise to. If he goes to Miami, if he goes to Oklahoma City, I mean, like that. All of a sudden, you're looking at another juggernaut team.
Well, but interestingly,
maybe if he goes to Brooklyn.
If he goes to OKC, it removes him from the East.
True.
It eliminates the Bucks from being a contender in the East or a potential stumbling block in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And if he goes out West, I mean, who knows how that shakes up the team? You know my theory. If he joins OKC in February, okay, interesting. Like, how's that going to all come together for that
right.
young team where suddenly this guy who basically takes the ball at midcourt, takes three steps and dunks every... Okay, so what do the other four of us do? Like, what do we do around here anymore?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I would immediately say, oh, they're going to roll right through the Celtics. The Celtics have the advantage of what Giannis himself said the other day. Like, they've been doing this for a couple of years. They're built. They are who they are. They know how to play together.
Yep.
And they would maintain that advantage over any team that Giannis goes to. He did have a good costume the other day, and I did like his response.
What was that?
So he had... Actually, I don't even know what the costume was. I forget. But a reporter was like, you know, why are you dressed up at your post-game press conference or whatever? And he's like, are you married? And he goes, yeah. He goes, then you know that you don't get to say. Basically, he explained, like, because I have kids and a wife, and they told me to put the damn costume on, so mm-hmm. I'm sitting here in front of you with the costume on.
Here it is.
I do like some of his answers.
Yeah. He seems like a good star, you know? Like
I know you hate him because his brother plays with him.
I don't hate that about him. I hate that about his brother more, I guess, than that. But it is sort of annoying that they have this little caddy at the end
of
the bench.
You think he'd get traded with him if he gets traded?
Goes in there. Probably, yeah. Probably. Wherever he goes, you're probably going to have to deal with Thanasis, too.
But I also think
it's
interesting.
His brand of basketball.
So he plays in Milwaukee. So most people would say, wait, you're going to trade one of the biggest stars on the planet to OKC? But to him, does he care about that kind of stuff? Does he want to necessarily be in New York and Miami? Although those are two others on his list.
True. I imagine he wants to be there more than he wants to be in Oklahoma City. I mean, like, who wants to go to Oklahoma City? Whoever wants to go to Oklahoma City?
Well, I would want to go where I could win if I were him.
Yeah.
Because as you start...
Already won, though.
You have won.
Right.
Big difference between one and two. Ask Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
They laugh at you when you have won sometimes. He's a one guy. If he goes somewhere, like, that's a good young franchise where you think maybe he goes there, depending, again, on the shakeup, how it looks. How many could you win a couple? And if you win a couple, now you're an all-time great. Like, you've really elevated yourself to a different hierarchy.
What would the Heat have to give up for him? Adebayo, Hero, every pick for the next 5 years.
I was going to say every pick.
Like, something like that.
I don't even
but
know
like
what picks they have.
Those kind
yeah.
of players, right? I mean,
yes.
It's going to have to be those kind of guys.
I would think.
Rozier, maybe even, like, you know, whoever they have.
Milwaukee want Adebayo? Like,
probably, yeah.
I just feel
Adebayo's
like...
Adebayo's a good player.
Yeah, but you don't care about good players because you're trading the good players.
Well, then maybe you flip them or something. But like that's what you do. You
to
know?
Me, if I'm
you got a match contract,
I only want picks. I want because if I trade Giannis, I'm tearing it down. That's why I would hate this if I'm a Bucks fan.
Hmm.
Like you're just blowing it up, and this feels like you.
Well,
don't
you're trading.
From this.
Hey, you can build a team around Lillard. I mean, that's not you know you still have a superstar on your team.
Eh.
Wait, you don't think he's a superstar?
No, I do think he's a superstar. How old's he?
He's 33. I want to
yeah,
say
exactly.
Yeah, so, right.
So he's this is a massive step backwards. You think Lillard and Adebayo is better?
No.
I don't either.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Lillard.
So you're taking a massive step backwards.
Hero, Adebayo.
No.
Jaquez, you know, like whoever else gets included in the trade. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Maybe it's not, they're not all better than Giannis, but maybe that makes for a better team.
We'll see.
It could happen.
I don't think you're better than the Heat. I don't think you're better than the Celtics. I don't think you're better than the Knicks. Right? Right there. Boom.
I'd agree
boom,
with
boom,
that.
Boom.
Yeah. It
we'll
would be. I mean, it would
go.
Be a move. It wouldn't be a move to necessarily get better. It would be a move
no,
to start over.
You'd I think you're starting over. A rebuild.
Yeah.
So therefore, Adebayo. Okay. Well, that's. Great.
But I don't care what the Milwaukee fans think about it. Screw them. What the hell do I care what those cheese wow. curd eating Miller beer drinking yokels think about anything?
What's wrong?
What do
with
I care
Miller
about
beer
this?
Drinking?
Nothing.
But that's
you know,
what I drink.
What do I care about what these Milwaukee people think?
I like cheese curds too.
I like them too. Actually, I'm a big cheese curds guy. I go to a place that's got cheese curds. I'll have at least two orders. I can take down two orders of cheese curds in any setting, even if I'm not hungry.
But you're in good shape.
I'm just saying I don't do it all the time. I'm saying I could. 6-1 said, "Wait, you just said you eat cheese curds and drink the beer too. What do you want from
me?" I haven't had cheese curds in a while. I drink beer often. Miller
Lite. I've been cutting back on the beer lately.
Why?
I don't know. I have too many of them. All of a sudden, it's like, because now you get to a certain age, we're drinking like a couple beers. It's like drinking a loaf. It's like eating a loaf of bread, basically.
It's killing me.
It's
beers
too much.
Are
yeah,
killing
the beers
me.
Are too much these days. I'm getting to that
what
age.
What beers are you drinking?
Just any beer. Coors Light, the Stella Artois, you know, Bud Light, whatever. And I don't like heavy IPAs. I mostly
oh, okay.
stick
that's
to the light
I was
stuff.
Wondering.
But even the light stuff is like a few too many of those, and all of a sudden it's not even enjoyable anymore.
Yeah,
agree to disagree.
Yeah. I've learned that. Like, it's been a hard lesson for me. I used to be able to eat, drink, do whatever I want. Never fluctuated. After 35, it's
oh,
like,
yeah.
forget it, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No
it's
question.
A whole
for me,
new
it was 40.
Game.
When I hit 40, It was a different ball game. Everything changed. That's why my friends at Awaken 180 helped out.
Oh, he's smooth.
I'm still going to be walking around my neighborhood tonight, costumeless, drinking beer. So don't get it twisted here. That's still going to be happening.
So this is just talk. This isn't really action.
I'm just saying it's not what it used to be. It's a new day. New day in the Arcan household. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the trade deadline is approaching in the NFL for the Patriots. We have the latest from Andrew Callahan about that and some realistic targets coming up next for the Patriots. We'll discuss all that right after this.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network. Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.